going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Thursday morning. Well, we saw what we knew last night, which was that the Sixers were not likely to beat the Milwaukee Bucks without Joel Embiid and without Paul George. Now, it was not particularly pretty. Obviously, Maxey struggled having to have so much of the weight of the game on him. But look, that's not unexpected. We'll get into the Sixers. We'll get a lot into the Eagles today as well. 4-2 Birds against Cincinnati coming up on Sunday. A very interesting game. So all of that here with you today at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Leeches have 32 brains.
Wow. Well,
that's so crazy. 32 brains. Their bodies are divided into 32 segments, and each segment is controlled by a brain.
Okay. I mean, that's a different one.
A leech. They're so gross. They're so small.
But can be life-saving.
32. You're right. Well,
could be.
Used to be. Maybe. Yeah, not anymore. Back in the day.
Can they lend one of those brains to the Sixers? I'm just asking for a friend.
A leech brain? Just the Sixers asking. Could use a leech brain?
What'd you make last night, John? Because there's a lot going on with
what
the
did
Sixers,
I make
obviously.
Of it?
Yeah. It's a weird game to evaluate because you're evaluating the lesser players.
If we're just talking about the game.
Yeah, if they have less on
their... It was discouraging to see that Tyrese was not able to do it all himself. You know, he had 25 and he looked great at times, but man...
Inefficient.
Yeah. I like the hair on Tyrese.
There you go.
Nice work with that.
Yep.
I don't know. I hear that this is a deep team, that this is a good type of team with veterans that Nick Nurse can work wonders with. I wonder how anyone could hope to be doing anything without Joel Embiid, without Paul George.
Sure.
It's just really impossible to look good, to feel confident, to like anything that you saw last night because it's got this pall over all of it.
I know.
And by the way, how in the world is the NBA going to manage this? Like, if I'm the NBA, I'm incensed right now because I was just told by a team that their star player is not injured.
On national TV night where it's like day two.
It's the opening night.
And they're featured.
You know, like you're playing basketball to show, like, highlight your league.
I know.
And the star. Star of the 76ers. Like.
I know.
Hey, he's not hurt. But he didn't play.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Listen,
and where does that lead us? And I feel like I'm in trouble because the Sixers just did something incredibly stupid. Incredibly, like, off the wall bizarre.
Well, that
you
was
told
bizarre.
Everyone he's okay.
Yeah. Look, the whole thing is weird. We talked a lot about it yesterday. We'll certainly put it right back on the table again today, 215-592-9494. But also the evaluation of the game, meaning the players, meaning, you know, these lesser guys that had to do too much last night and obviously couldn't do it effectively enough. But what'd you make of it? You know, the new parts and as they fit into an equation once you get the big guys back and try to have everyone actually, you know, play a role that they're supposed to play.
So I like that we didn't turn it over too much.
Yeah, I wish Andre Drummond wasn't in foul trouble. That would have been nice, but he was in foul. It's all right. Look, all right.
I don't like Andre Drummond's mustache at all.
That was key.
I think he needs to work on that. But
right,
I love Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I like him too. So the whole Sixers thing, from the league investigation to Embiid specifically, to their strategy, to the lesser players, all of it on the table, 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Birds. So, you know, John, they've got a game coming up in 3 days that has sort of quickly become kind of fascinating for a lot of reasons. First off, sort of out of nowhere, the Birds are 4-2. So when you consider the consternation that's existed through the first month and a half of the season, including just as recently as last week when they were, you know, 3-2, I mean, they have a good record. Cincinnati has an improved record from where they were because obviously Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, you know, supposed to be, you know, kind of prime Joe Burrow. They're supposed to be a title contender. They look nothing of the sort in the early going, but now have picked things up. To which I ask this question. If the Eagles win this game, I'm curious with everyone listening at 215-592-9494, are you on board? Now, let me go back a step and ask this question. Are you on board now? I think there's a lot of people, if I had to guess, but we can find out today, through you at 215-592-9494, I would guess a lot of people right now are not on board, but you're closer, obviously, than 2 weeks ago, probably closer than a week ago. So just first question, are you on board right now and believing in the Eagles now? Second question, if you're not, maybe straddling that fence, which you know, John, I'm straddling the fence, but more off, much more off the fence than on, much more. If they win this game, where does everyone stand? John, what are your thoughts on right now? What are your thoughts on if they win? Remember, this is a road game at Cincy. This will not be an unimpressive win if they get it. John, what will it mean if they get this game related to what you think?
I am currently cautiously on board. If they beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati, that is a strong win. And I will be much more confident in this team. I'm eyeing Nick Sirianni. I mean, I want to feel better about Nick Sirianni. I felt better about Nick Sirianni this week. I felt better watching him interact with the guys, watching the team respond to his, issues. He was struggling last week in a lot of ways because of his, doofusness, for lack of a better word. But man, the team came and rescued him, and that means something to me. And that should mean something to all of us. I think, I'm on board, Joe, and I can't wait to try to see what Nick can do. Let's see you be a better coach against Cincinnati. I want to be further on board. Joe, you're about to approach the Eagles are good fence. The Eagles, I believe,
don't know about that,
fence.
Man.
Believe fence. I am on and past the fence. I climbed over the fence. It took some climbing. I'm over the fence. I'm, considering the possibility that this fence may not be worth much. I'm thinking about looking back. I'm not completely sold. You're not. Where are you? We went against this Bengals team who started the year very slowly, but now they're looking like the Bengals of old. We went against these guys. You should.
All right. Do you remember,
start rethinking your stance,
man. Do you remember when I told you as a kid I was afraid to jump in the water as a swimming pool? So I would go.
You've never been a diver.
It's not what I do.
You've never dived.
Well, he doesn't even swim. He just doggy paddles.
I told us that.
Have you ever jumped into water head first?
I would say probably not. I mean, if so, it's once or twice my whole life. Yeah. But And here's the point. It scared the hell out of me. And here's the point I'm driving at. I can't tell you how many times I'd be at Penn Charter's camp, because I went to Penn Charter summer camp. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth. Well, second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Trying to make you dive?
I would approach the water, and they'd be like, Joe, get in there. Joe, you can do it.
Was this off a diving board?
No, this was down at the shallow end of the pool.
What? All right? Shallow end, jump in?
And I would approach the water.
Oh my gosh.
And I would turn around. That's the analogy I'm giving you right now with this freaking fence thing you just brought up.
Turning around and walking away from the fence of judgment? This is a fence of judgment for the Eagles. For this Cincinnati Bengals game. It's us against the world, and we got a fence.
We got to
determine whether we're on the fence, whether we're past the fence.
James, on a daily basis, I'll write down one or two questions to the post. I will literally write down a question to keep it very simple for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Am I now writing down the question, which side of the fence are you on?
I guess so.
With the Eagles?
Sure.
All right.
Perching on the fence?
All right, so here's where I am. And, of course, we want to hear from you at 215-592-9494 as it relates to this fence, as it relates to being on board or not with the Eagles, as it relates to this upcoming game. Am I currently on board? No. And by on board, I'm talking about really believing in them. Do I really believe in them at this stage? I do not.
Well, the key is, what's it going to take for you to really believe in this quarterback? Why is this such a hassle,
so,
by the way?
So here's the thing. I think that you touched on something very interesting there, John. He is, unfortunately, but to be truthfully, truthful, he's the main reason I'm not on board. I can see a way for this team to become pretty good with all other parts. I mean, obviously,
he's our guy. Well, that's the thing you seem obtuse about. Well, this does take time for our guy to learn a new offense. That does matter.
I just don't think he's good. So, you know, it's hard for me to see. Look, I know there are times. Look, he obviously was great a couple years ago. There's no denying that. We also know teams can have big success without a terrific quarterback. But we also know it makes it a lot harder. You know, it makes it a lot harder. And, you know, if they win this game, sure, I will be closer. Like, I'll put a leg over the fence, I guess. But I'm not going to be over the fence. I'm not going to be on board because I'm going to tell you right now how I think this whole thing plays out. End of the year, whether it's the end of the regular season and they miss the playoffs or early in the playoffs, I think they just lose because Jalen loses it. I hate to be so on October the 24th to tell you that. That's what I believe, John. So we can talk all we want about, you know, Saquon and AJ playing at Hall of Fame levels. Like, historic. It's awesome.
And what's going to happen defense when improving. That's, Jalen continues to improve this season?
Well, that's if he does.
But he hasn't.
Yeah, he really hasn't. And if you look at it over a two-year prism, he's going back. Like, he's worse this year than he was last year for the totality of the year. Like, he was pretty good in the first half last year. I think the longer defenses see what he's got.
I don't think we can accurately say that.
He doesn't pass across the middle.
A.J. Brown sitting on the sideline for a majority of the season.
No, that's reasonable.
I mean, wasn't that three games?
Three full games. Three full games.
Three games. You got A.J. sitting on the sideline.
Yeah.
Devontae.
They're 3-0 when A.J. plays.
No, I mean, James.
Putting that out there.
No, I get it. It's like saying the Baltimore Ravens won with Ray Lewis when Trent Dilfer was their quarterback. Yeah. It can happen. And by the way, I'm not saying Jalen's as bad as Trent Dilfer, but
no,
he might be.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, actually. All right, 215-592-9494. So kind of a series of questions here. Are you on board with the Eagles right now? If you're not, but they win this game on Sunday, are you in? How do you stack up the Jalen reality in the conversation of the whole season?